You've heard about VIP membership, you've thought about VIP membership, and now we're going to entice you to activate your VIP membership. Today, you can take $8 off a VIP membership. That brings our $9.99 monthly rate down to $1.99 for your first month, or apply it to our cheaper rates when you commit to 3 months or 1 year. That's $8 off with coupon code LiveCast18. That's LiveCast18, all one word, no space, LiveCast18 in the coupon code box when you check out pwtorch.com/goVIP. What comes with the VIP membership? Well, first of all the PW Torch livecasts on one RSS feed that you can subscribe to. But as a VIP member, these plugs and similar plugs, along with the advertising and commercials, edited out of the show. So a streamlined experience. Plus, VIP after shows, exclusive post-show content just for VIP members. Also, VIP exclusive content that nobody else hears, the Wade Keller Hotline every single day that I put out, and the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, and the Fix with Todd Martin that I host, and the post-pay-per-view roundtables, including the Royal Rumble post-pay-per-view show recorded right after the Rumble that I host. Also, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop site, PWTorch.com becomes PWTorchVIP.com for VIP members, ad-free access to everything on the site, and so much more. Did I mention 30-plus years of archives, retro radio shows going back to the early 1990s, thousands upon thousands of hours of podcasts on any topic you can imagine in professional wrestling from a top trusted team? Go check out our benefits, over 70 exclusive podcasts, over 25 live casts with plugs and ads removed, an RSS feed that lets you sign up for shows by theme, by title, or all at once, whatever is convenient for you. And yes, it's compatible with popular podcast apps on Apple and Android. So go check out details. That's pwtorch.com/goVIP. Choose your subscription option, 1 month, 3 month, or 1 year, and then enter coupon code LiveCast18 to take $8 off the price of your subscription. We are journalists. We are independent analysts. We are forever students of the game, working passionately to help you understand pro wrestling better and enjoy it on a different level than most fans by never stopping our own journey to learn and inquire and decipher everything going on in this fascinating genre. We are independent. We are unattached to and uncompromised by any affiliation with a pro wrestling company or dependence on cooperation with the companies we cover, so you can trust that what we're saying isn't hindered by conflicts of interest or fear of losing a current or future job in the industry. There's less hedging than you'll find elsewhere. You might have noticed that. No fanboy blind loyalty and no holding back. But we're also committed to fairness and exploring all sides of decisions that are made by promoters and wrestlers. So check out our complete coverage in print, text, and audio. pwtorch.com/goVIP. $8 off. A coupon awaits you. Act now before this offer expires. It's for a very limited time. The coupon code is LiveCast18.
All right, everybody, welcome to PWT Talks NXT. I am your host, Kelly Wells. I write the NXT tracker on the site. I was going to do it this last week. What a strange week it's been here between work and blizzards and being snowed in. What a crazy time here in Minnesota. But yeah, we've got the NXT. I do the NXT tracker on the website, talk about guys coming up on their way up. I also typically do, and we'll be doing here in the next couple of days, a mini preview of the TakeOver show itself and the state of the booking walking into that. I have two guests, as I do most weeks here. Let's start with Justin James. Introduce yourself. Okay, I guess we don't have to start with Justin. Harley, are you here?
Present and accounted for. My name is Harley R. Padgett. I do the weekly Ring of Honor television reports on the website, and I've been a NXT fan since day one, so I'm always happy to talk about NXT. I think it's the best wrestling on the planet right now.
Sorry about that. I was on mute. I had this just
I wondered if that's
amazing
what
intro. It's an amazing intro, but I was on mute like an idiot.
I have done that on my other podcast. Go ahead, Justin.
That should be my gimmick. So I'm the Torches TV specialist covering NXT every Wednesday night.
All right. Well, yeah. So I've got Justin and I've got Harley. Harley's got some of his stats for you tonight, one of my favorite parts of the show, and that'll be a little bit later. We'll cover this week, and we'll talk about TakeOver, because we are about to go into the best weekend of wrestling, in my very unhumble opinion. TakeOver leading into Royal Rumble, my favorite time of year for wrestling. If you want to ask us any questions, have us tackle those at the end of the show. We do have 3 reader emails today that we're going to tackle. Good stuff. We got some good questions this week. If you want to ask us anything, go ahead at pwtorchnxt@gmail.com. That's pwtorchnxt@gmail.com. And that's where you can find us. Now, let me give you a task. Pick out a wine you're going to love, but there's a catch. It has to be one you haven't had before. Where would you start? This is where Wink comes in. That's Wink. W-I-N-C, which is a meeting of wine and incorporated. Wink makes it easy to discover great wine. Their experts will select wine matched to your taste and personalized for you and ship them to your door, starting at $13 a bottle. This is the best day of your month. Just fill out Wink's palate profile quiz, answering simple questions that your average store clerk isn't going to think to ask you or translate into a recommendation. These are questions like, how do you take your coffee, or blueberries, what's your take on them? Wink then sends you wines curated to your taste, and the more wines you rate, the more personalized your selections will become. Each month we have new delicious wines like the insanely popular Summer Water Rosé. There are no membership fees, you can skip any month, and you can cancel at any time. Shipping is covered, and if you don't like a bottle, they'll replace it with one you love, no questions asked. Discover great wine today. Go to trywink.com/pwtorch, and you'll get $20 off your first shipment. That's trywink.com/pwtorch for $20 off. trywink.com/pwtorch. Do it. I'm going to, because I've forgotten everything I knew from back when I lived in the wine country of Yakima, Washington. All right, guys, at the beginning of this show, we are going to talk about the one major match, the one great match we had this week. I thought I really loved this match from a psychology standpoint. Johnny Gargano versus Velveteen Dream. Oh, this match seemed like a bonus. Didn't know we were going to get something like this. And yeah, fun stuff. But I won't burn all the comments on it. Justin, go ahead with what you thought on this one.
Oh my goodness. Like, Velveteen Dream. I mean, we knew Gargano was great in the ring, right? We've known Aleister Black is great in the ring. But all of a sudden, we just discovered Velveteen Dream is great in the ring. Where'd this guy come from? I mean, he wasn't on my radar 6 months ago. This was just an absolutely phenomenal match. I've already, you know, I'm already calling it a potential winner of Wednesday night match of the year. I love the story they told here with Gargano wanting to prove he's a legitimate number one contender, with Dream starting off cocky, you know, doing his mannerisms and his taunts. And then he hurt that arm early in the match. And as soon as he hurt the arm, he stopped doing the taunts, got more serious. The story being told with Gargano progressively injuring the arm, Dream selling that arm throughout the entire match, I legitimately questioned, is this a real injury?
Yes.
Or work? And, you know, then the arm costing him the victory, you know, with where he took that pause coming off the top, Gargano gets his knees up, Gargano lock, and now both of his arms are just destroyed. And, you know, Dream just had to instantly tap, and for the first time in a while, a quick tap out didn't make someone look weak or cowardly. You knew why he was tapping, right? The Gargano lock, you know, hits both arms, and both of his arms were ruined at that point. Great story, great ring work, great emotions. The post-match was picture-perfect with Almas. Cannot say enough good things about this match, especially on a Wednesday night. Talk about bonus. This is like hitting the lottery on the $2 scratch-off.
Right. All right, Harley, you on this match.
Yeah, this was one of those sort of old-fashioned NXT main events. There was a period back in the day when every week NXT television ended with a big pay-per-view worthy match between two of their top guys. And they got away from that a little bit in the past year, I guess. But this was definitely one of those that, you know, this could have easily fit on the TakeOver card on a different month. So I love seeing that. I really don't think Dream lost anything in defeat. He's still at the very beginning of his career. Gargano's challenging for the title in 3 days. So, you know, losing to the number two guy in the company on the show doesn't hurt you at all. The thing I really, something that jumped out to me tonight, we've made comments comparing Dream to Goldust in his feud with Black, more in his character and his mannerisms. There's something tonight that reminded me of Macho Man. I don't know if you guys feel that way at all. I don't know if it's the headband, the fact that he does the flying elbow, but there's definitely something of sort of specifically Macho Man when he was with Sensational Sherry in that heel period there.
I hadn't thought that. I guess I see what you're saying, and I'll look for that. That swagger is definitely there. That idea of how to utilize ring psychology is definitely there. He is doing a better job with ring psychology than just about anybody. Obviously, the match with Black was amazing, and this match was just great. Like Justin said, he was selling the hand injury, and I really thought, God, he's going to be off the card. He's that hand injury looks legit. He was really selling it pretty well. And then as he kept establishing it, I was like, this might just figure into the end of the match. And and sure enough, it did. And the main roster especially, but wrestling in general, can be so lazy about how they give a guy an out. And there are a lot of ways to give a guy an out. And to do that by selling like a mini injury within a match, this is just, it's a lost art. And I love that we're teaching these guys this kind of ring psychology, and I hope it starts really translating to the main roster, because some of the guys do it on the main roster, but it seems like we just don't see it there as much as we should. So that was that match. Johnny goes on to have his match as we thought we would, because two arrogant heels against each other would not make for a very good main event of TakeOver. And we apparently were spoiled beforehand that Velveteen Dream would be facing Cassius Ohno at TakeOver, which is fine enough. I think it's kind of odd and surprising that Lars Sullivan is not on the card, but what are you going to do? I thought that we were going to get Sullivan and Dane, but maybe we'll get that the week after.
Yeah, maybe next week on TV or three-way with Roddy.
I don't want that to be a TakeOver Dark Show match. I want that to be a big match with real build, real, you know, I don't want that to be a TakeOver Dark match.
Yeah. I just thought that was odd.
That's just garbage.
Right. And it was odd that would be superseded by a match with, like, Ohno and Dream, which has no heat, but we know why it exists.
Well,
they also announced Nikki Cross versus Lacey Evans for next week.
Yeah,
so maybe all of this is due to the fact that Sanity's time in NXT is drawing to a close.
I've kind of expected, and I said this on Sunday on Greg's show, but I've been kind of expecting an Evans Cross feud. Just because she's been specifically facing Cross on house shows, and specifically mentioning Cross in a promo last week, you know, that psychopath Nikki Cross. Mm-hmm. So I think that's gonna be a legit feud. But I think you're absolutely right that we are going to see Sanity on their way out very soon. This could be the beginning of the end.
Maybe this weekend.
Yeah, for sure.
We got a couple pay-per-views this weekend.
Yeah, we do. We got some stuff going on this weekend. I'm going to move on to what I think was the second biggest talking point of this show. Even though we had two and a half matches otherwise, I would have to say the second biggest thing here was the sit-down between Shayna Baszler and Ember Moon. I really, really liked this as a way to promote this match, and I'm so much more excited for it than I was. And yeah, I was reasonably excited for this match, but more so now, I thought this was an interesting, again, NXT finding ways, old school ways to promote stuff. Harley, what did you think of this?
Yeah, I specifically like what NXT has been doing with the pre-taped. They have an option to do things in a way that Raw and SmackDown don't necessarily want to. We the TM61 video, this sort of segment here, where they have more time to do something in the studio and insert it later. So I like that idea. I haven't been big on Percy Watson as a commentator, but I thought he did totally fine in this segment here with these two. I loved the little things tonight. There was this ominous, like, droning background music throughout the entire Baszler Moon segment that just made the whole atmosphere feel very threatening and very tense. I love little things like that.
Yeah, I Justin, go ahead.
You know, I liked so much about this, but I thought the acting, particularly for Moon, was just a little off.
Yeah,
I felt that I was watching somebody playing a role. Baszler, I thought, seemed very natural, but I think that she also had the easier role to play in this, right? It's easy to just kind of smirk and be smug and just be like, whatever. And it's very difficult to sell intensity without looking over the top or ridiculous. And I think Moon just kind of crossed that line a little bit. And I hate to say this because part of her gimmick, but I have a hard time taking her seriously in the sit-down interview setting with those, like, red dots over her eye and the red eye contacts. It's just like it's like trying to have a sit down interview with Undertaker while he's got the guy liner on, and you'd be like, really? That's just not a character that you should be doing sit down interviews with. And but I like the concept. I thought the concept was solid. You know, I want to see them do more of this, and I thought the scripted words were exactly right. I just thought it was a matter of, you know, Moon needs a little bit more experience in these. We've known she's not been strong at promos in the past. She needs a little bit more experience, but this is how you get it.
Yeah, I think you could have been reading the notes out of my head on this one, because I felt much the same way you did. Ember, she's further along than she was. Now, I think people would be a little surprised and taken aback if they went back and saw some of her interviews in the past at just how bad they were. It's just not an art. It's not the kind of art that gets perfected on the indies as much as your in-ring work. So that kind of happened there. Shayna, you can call it an easy draw, but it's not easy for just anyone to go out there, be themselves, and like lay back and be that cocky person. That's not necessarily second nature for some, but Shayna has no issue with it at all. I'm really impressed by how well she came across. And like you, I liked the segment fine, but I loved the segment as a concept, and I hope that this is kept up. And Harley, I forgot to write down about the ominous music going on, but yeah, that was a really, really nice touch. I will say about Percy Watson, not the greatest announcer, but if there's one thing he's good at, it's like kind of fading into the background and letting you forget that he's there. So that's like, this is the perfect role for him, is to be there between two people having to sell a match between them. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, he's low key. And so in the right uses, it can be really beneficial. I don't think Nigel or Mora would have been as effective there.
It's funny because his nickname is Showtime. And yet he's the one who who so easily fades into the background and is doing that part of the game correctly.
Yeah, he actually does that really well. And I know that we've talked about this before, is that he knows when to lay off. But he did this one thing in this interview. Okay, there's this one thing he did where, remember when they stood up, right? Mm-hmm. And Watson put his hand on Ember Moon, kind of like a sit down and calm down thing.
Right.
And she just like slammed his hand off of her.
Yep.
And that was, especially with some of the things that we're seeing, you know, going on you know, socially right now, right? Like, you know, Me Too movement and stuff like that, right?
Well, Enzo Amore.
Enzo Amore, yeah, that's, yeah, oof. And
a bigger ball of wax.
Yeah. Yeah, but to see, you know, to see that, right, that you know, and this thing that we've seen a lot in NXT where the women are positioned not as these dainty Barbie dolls, where Ember was just basically, get your hands off of me, right? And it was just such a great touch. I don't know if that was scripted. I don't know where that came from. But it was just such a great little touch where you knew that Moon was angry and she didn't want Watson to calm her down. She wasn't going to sit there and have a man tell her, take right. your seat. And that was a really well done little just thing. I don't know where it came from, but I loved it.
Yeah, I don't know if that just came out of the moment and she knew what to do in that moment or if that was something that they decided they were going to do. Either way, it was effective. I felt the same way.
Do you love wrestling? Come see Ring Rust Radio Live. The Ring Rust Radio Royal Rumble live show will take place on January 28th from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time at Lorraine Bar, 1502 Brown Street, Philadelphia, PA 19130. The show will star Donald Wood of Ring Rust Radio, Vaughn Johnson from the Straight Shooters podcast, Joe Archidiacono from the Sal B Plus podcast at Wednesday Wrestling Minutes. Several other surprise appearances will also take place. Tickets are only $5 and available at patreon.com/ringrustradio or on PayPal ringrustradio@gmail.com. Once again, don't forget Ring Rust Radio live in Philadelphia, Sunday, January 28th at Lorraine Bar. And for those who drink, they will have $2 Kenzinger lagers and $3 well drinks. All you need to do before you go to the Rumble. Once again, Sunday, January 28th, Ring Rust Radio, live in Philadelphia.
Absolution. Absolution.
Yeah, let's keep doing this, NXT, because that was a fun way to get this going. Right now, I'm going to ask you guys a little fun question leading into the greatest pay-per-view in wrestling history, the Royal Rumble. Yep. One man and one woman that you think could enter into the Royal Rumble. Obviously, we're looking at the NXT faithful here because that's what we do. So, yeah. Justin, who did you have in mind that that might go up, that might at least appear in this, whether or not they're going to stick around?
You've got to give the main roster watchers a sneak preview of Aleister Black or Lars Sullivan.
Yeah, and in those cases, do you think either guy stays up, or do you think this is where or this is just a showcase, a teaser, and they're back later?
Black's going to go up. They're not going to put – I don't think they're going to put the belt on him. He's beyond ready. Put, you know, send Black to the main roster now. Sullivan, I think they've got a lot of room to run on him still. Not that he needs much improvement, but they're in the middle of stuff that he's doing well in. But, you know, I think I could see Sullivan on the main roster real soon too.
Yeah. I just don't know that Lars Sullivan is cut from the NXT cloth. Like, it's good that he was down there. It's good that he worked down there. I just don't know. He's not the kind of guy who's going to get super, super over there on in a way that he will on the main roster, so I agree with you there. Did you pick a female for this as well?
For a woman, you know, I think that you're going to have to – I'd like to see Shayna Baszler. I just can't help it. I like her too much.
Yeah, I like Shayna too. I don't know. It's an interesting time for her because I think she's going to be an integral part of NXT. But there's a lot of spots to fill. I want to say the women have 17 right now, maybe 18.
I think there's a lot of spots. Women on Raw, 9 on SmackDown.
Okay.
Not counting the champions.
Right. And there's but Paige is out. So I think that maybe is what brings it down to 17.
Yeah.
I can't remember. It doesn't matter. But yeah, there's a lot of spots to fill either way.
Yeah.
So Harley, did you pick the same names or you got somebody different to throw at me?
I did pick Lars Sullivan as well, simply because I'm looking at the match and I don't think there are really any big monsters in this year's match. You've got Strowman, Lesnar, and Kane. They're going to be competing in the championship match. You've got Big Show out on injury. So I think Lars would stand a good chance of standing out in this field. I don't think it's a call-up. I think it's a cameo before he goes back to NXT for a couple more months. But I could definitely see him coming in, throwing out some tag team guys, someone like a Bo Dallas, a Curtis Axel, and then maybe eventually getting eliminated by Roman Reigns, say.
Right. All right. And then a female?
And on the female front, I have got to go with Nikki Cross. I think the NXT fans would go nuts to see her come out. She's got that perfect character to just jump in the ring, whip down the leather jacket, and go nuts on everybody, face and heel, who stands in her way. I think she's got such a unique look that people who don't watch NXT will immediately want to know who this person is. And like we were kind of alluding to earlier, I think Sanity is going to be coming up very soon. I wouldn't be surprised if they're on the main roster in the next month.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I hate to parrot you guys, but I picked Black and Cross myself. Aleister Black, I've been talking about it, I've been writing about it. I think that number one should be a cocky heel, ideally The Miz, and number two should be Aleister Black. And whoever it is, whoever's number one, I would love to see him actually just dominate and eliminate them before number three even comes in, to just really, really drive home how dangerous this guy is. And I don't care who it is. And Miz is, like, the perfect guy for that, because Miz stays over regardless. He's always over.
And he's the opposite Ziggler.
Yeah, right. He's so good at keeping himself over regardless of what he does, which is what a heel's supposed to do. A heel's supposed to get his ass kicked all the time and stay over. And that's what Miz does, and that's why I love the guy so much, for his commitment to the business. So
you just got me fancy booking this right now. Like number one, Miz comes out. Number two, Black comes out. Ring the bell. Black Mass, Miz is out, and Aleister Black just sits in the middle of the ring until the next person comes out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
God, that's incredible booking. Not to put ourselves over as bookers here, right? Because none of us are running a business. But that would make Black a main event star.
Right.
Like, that would just catapult him right to the top.
Right. And I also went with Nikki Cross. I just don't know how long she has to. This could go either way. If Black goes up, I think he stays. If Nikki goes up, I think that this is. This could go either way. She'll maybe do a couple jobs down there, but for the most part, I think it could be time for her to go up, especially if Sanity on the whole is going up. If Sanity on the whole is going up, I don't think they'll all be in the Rumble. I think that's a lot of spots to have them take up. I think maybe it would just be either Eric Young or Killian Dain, but not just one of those two guys, and not all three of them in the Rumble, I would assume.
I could see it being Dain and the other guys maybe accompanying him to ringside or something.
Right. Yeah.
To present them as a group and not just this random.
But I love what you're saying about the idea of Sullivan, because there is no obvious big guy in this one, which is the polar opposite of last year's, which was booked to have all the monsters in it.
And this discussion is exactly why when you say, like, you know, you think Rumble weekend's the best weekend of the year, and I know that the official right answer is supposed to be Mania weekend, I'm with you 100% on Rumble, because I don't have this excitement over Mania.
Yep. It's the element of surprise.
It's important
in wrestling.
Right. Yeah, it's this is why I love Royal Rumble, and now that NXT's in the mix and we've seen NXT folks appear in the Rumble, that just adds one more dimension to the excitement of the Rumble.
Yeah, this is right. Oh boy, it's only Wednesday. I gotta pace myself here. Okay, so on the show we also had. Second part of TM61, we had the No Way Jose return into the ring with Cesar Bononi, Bianca Belair against LaToya, And then the AOP against Something Brown and Damian Smith.
You caught their names?
I did catch the names. I didn't understand what Nigel was saying on that first name, but it's Brown is his last name, and the other guy is Damian Smith.
I thought I heard it so quickly, I barely caught Chris over their trunks. So.
Yeah, I heard Krista. It's not Christopher, but it was like it started with Chris, and it was three Christoph. Syllables. Yeah, I'm not sure what it was.
I'll check online tomorrow.
Of all these other segments, Justin, do you have anything to add?
I mean, no. I mean, Jose got his quick squash. Unfortunately, is Bonani, who I think we all like. Belair. You know, if Baszler wasn't in NXT right now, Belair would be my favorite women's wrestler in NXT right now, without a doubt. She just touches all my spots for, you know, things I like to see in a women's wrestler.
I saw her reaching for her hair when LaToya was on the top rope, and I was like, oh, I know what's coming, and it's still going to be awesome.
Yeah, that Belair was just like something else in that ring. And, a couple months ago we saw her, and she had some green to her. And tonight, all that green was gone, even though she was facing somebody who we've never seen before, who's obviously a local ham and egger. Right. And, she got really good really quick. And the rest of this stuff was what it was.
Yeah, I feel like we see these talents that come in with a lot of wrestling knowledge and not a lot of character knowledge, they take forever to progress. But the ones that come in, it seems like wrestling is a more learnable skill than swagger, if that makes sense, and if you feel me here.
Yeah.
Because she came in with all the swagger, and she was a decent enough wrestler. Just like you're saying, she's come a long way in a short amount of time. And I think that's because so much of her charisma, it can't be taught, no matter how much you want somebody to have, for somebody to be cool, they can't necessarily be cool. And Bianca's got it. I know why she's a heel. I understand what makes her a heel. But at some point, eventually, I think she will be the biggest baby face on the roster for the women.
I can't boo her. I'm just because she's got that swagger and she doesn't cheat. You're like, okay, yeah, so she's nasty and mean, but she's got a right to be cocky because it's like Stone Cold. It's like, because she just whooped you. Mm-hmm. That's why she gets to walk like that. That's why she gets to talk like that. So she gets to do the EST thing because she is the EST.
Yep. Was thrilled to see her on the show again this week.
She's very much shades of Sasha Banks, I'd say.
Yeah, she is. But I think
especially because Sasha was in the same spot when she was playing a heel in NXT. It was hard to hard to get her booed sometimes because she was so cool and confident.
She was cool, but Sasha on the mic and as a character is nowhere near what I think Bianca could be. So we'll see how that goes because. Yep.
And I like Sasha on the mic.
I was watching when Sasha was the worst. I remember seeing a Sasha promo and saying, I've been watching wrestling for 25 years, and that's the worst promo I've ever seen. The absolute worst.
Sasha Banks, if somebody were to go back and review everything I've ever written for The Torch and hold me to it, Sasha Banks is where they're going to say, you are an idiot. How could you have missed that? Because I think I had the same reaction. I was just like I think at one point when they got rid of this one woman, she was tall, reddish brown hair. I forget her name, but I thought she had a lot of upside. I remember they billed her from Virginia. I don't know why I remember that. But I was like, they got rid of her, but they kept Sasha Banks. Like, what does Sasha Banks have going for her other than being some 32nd cousin of Snoop Dogg and she's got nothing going for her. She's this mouse, and she's awful on the stick, and her wrestling is subpar. And now you're like, oh, did I blow it? But, the evaluation still holds. She was awful then. But
she was. She worked her ass off.
Yep. Yeah, somebody at the PC saw something in her that nobody else could see or nobody else was seeing on their TV screen.
And maybe it was Sasha herself.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe she saw it and she just worked her ass off. So
yeah.
Kudos to her, because I look forward to a Sasha match now. All right. So, Harley, anything on the other segments in this show? TM61, anything on that?
Yeah, TM61 was good. I'm looking forward to their return to the ring next week. I'm a big fan of Bianca. I thought the match, I actually found it a little clunky at times. I'm not sure exactly what, but I'm willing to give it a pass because, I mean, I remember when Charlotte first debuted in NXT, when Bayley first debuted, and it was the same thing to kind of what you were just saying about Sasha. When Charlotte was around for the first couple of months, people were saying, she's related to Ric Flair? Are you serious? Like, who is this girl? And now everybody is firmly in her camp. So that's totally stuff I'm overlooking. No Way Jose, this is the first time we've seen him since, what, November? Maybe October? He's still the same Jose, same look, same dance, same baseball punch. I don't really know where he goes from here. That's my big question.
Yeah, it's weird for me when a guy is just reintroduced and then he wins a match and it's like, well, this is the same exact character who is struggling. Why am I supposed to accept him now as a guy who's going to win without any kind of tweak to who he is or what he is? You can't just have a guy start being a winner without any... It seemed like once upon a time they were making him harder core. Like, he said, okay, I'm the dancing, having fun guy, but you pissed me off, and now I'm going to get real. And I don't remember if that was with Bobby Roode, maybe? I don't remember who that was with. But
maybe Sanity.
It was Sanity.
Oh, yeah. It was Sanity, yes. And so he got real, and that seemed like when he was going to do well. I don't know why he was off TV for so long. I don't think he was hurt. But yeah, without any
change, a reboot.
He's not – No Way Jose is not that young. I want to say he's like 36 or 38 years old. So if they're going to do anything with him, it's time. And maybe this is a reintroduction to throw him in the Royal Rumble, and he'll go up and he'll be a low card main roster player, and you know, the main roster needs low card guys that have a lot of energy and keep the audience engaged, so maybe that's his future. So
I could see him on the Ty Dillinger level, or, you know, in there with the Fashion Police.
Yeah, sure. And that's, you know, that's not a, you can make a career out of that.
Yeah,
so yeah, not necessarily a bad thing. Okay, we're gonna do takeover predictions real quick. We're going to take a look at, there are going to be 5 matches this Saturday, as far as we know, 5 on the main roster. Yep. Sometimes we get just 4 if they're going to go real long, but we're going to get 5 this time. So we won't linger on these because we probably talked about them a little bit, but, Ono versus Dream, Harley, go ahead and I'm going to start all these with you so you can do your stats as well.
All right. I decided to do things a little different this week. The stats that I am featuring here are from the past 13 months, so from January of last year to this year, not their entire history in NXT. I feel like that's more relevant.
Sure.
So, presumably opening the card will be Cassius Ohno versus Velveteen Dream. Cassius Ohno has a record of 7-4 in the past year, while Velveteen now has a record of 7-2. So they're pretty evenly matched on that front. But I've got to think this is Dream's match to win. He hasn't had a sort of big signature win yet, and this would seem to be the one to put him down that path.
Justin?
I mean, Ohno is pretty much so a jobber to the stars.
Yep. We don't hear that term much anymore, but absolutely, jobber to the stars is exactly kind of what he's trying to – is what he's doing. Yeah, I'd assume it'll be another good match. I still want to call him Chris Hero. All of Ono's matches are good when they get some time. I assume this will open the show, and Velveteen Dreams, I would think that his introduction will be the first thing that we see. And, yeah, it was from what we saw this week with that long, drawn-out, like, just so self-absorbed promo. God, I loved it. I loved every second of it. Yeah, this is just, I think this will open the show and set the tone. And a while ago I said Velveteen Dream, he's probably going to hang around the NXT for quite a while, but I just don't know how long it's going to be before he's main roster ready. So I guess I wouldn't be stunned to see him in the Rumble as well. So, God, I might be getting ahead of myself.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts. You've heard about VIP membership, you've thought about VIP membership, and now we're going to entice you to activate your VIP membership. Today, you can take $8 off a VIP membership. That brings our $9.99 monthly rate down to $1.99 for your first month, or apply it to our cheaper rates when you commit to 3 months or 1 year. That's $8 off with coupon code LIVECAST18. That's LIVECAST18, all one word, no space, LIVECAST18 in the coupon code box when you check out pwtorch.com/govip.
So let's go ahead to Black and Cole Extreme Rules match. Harley, go ahead.
Yes, so in the past year, Aleister Black has racked up a record of 12 wins and only one loss. Well, the newcomer Adam Cole is looking at a record of 1 win and 3 losses.
1-3?
Yes, Adam Cole is 1-3
pathetic
at the moment.
He's really sad sack.
So I could go either way on this match, honestly. It kind of depends on how long Black is staying in NXT. I mean, it's Extreme Rules. You would think that would give the edge to the guy who has a faction behind him. But if they're competing later in the night, they might be occupied with that. I really don't know if I have to choose. I think I'm going to go to Aleister, getting his revenge.
All right, Justin.
I am of the belief that this will be Aleister Black's final match in NXT, or the match this will be his send-off. Maybe he might have one or two other matches in NXT. But giving Cole a win over Black will reverse the damage that 1-3 record has done to him, especially if he can do it without the help of Fish and O'Reilly. It's possible that Roddy will show up to even the odds, because Roddy and Black do have that history, that small history together. But I really do think that even then you'll be looking at a 3-on-2, and I really do see this as Black doing the job, like all good NXT stars do before they go main roster.
I'm with you here. This is a match where neither guy really should lose, but Black has been in the company, or not the company, in the business for a long time, and I assume that he's going to just do business here before he goes up. And if he loses, my assumption that he will go up and show up the next night will increase tenfold. Yeah, so I think he'll go up anyway, but if he loses, I'll be absolutely certain he's going to show up that next night. NXT doesn't really do the schmaz finish that often. They're pretty good about giving us some kind of ending, but with an Extreme Rules match, it's every out in the world to put the heel over. So I assume that's why this is what it is. But I look forward to seeing what these guys pull out, and hopefully Cole will do something that'll really get his character over, because right now he's the background guy in their three-person faction, and that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Maybe he can handcuff Black. Maybe he can duct tape Black to the ropes.
Right. All right, we got Authors of Pain going up against Fish and O'Reilly for the tag team titles. Authors trying to be the second two-time champions ever after the Revival.
Yeah, I believe so.
Harley, go ahead.
All right. The Authors of Pain in the past year have a record of 9 wins, 1 loss, and 2 no contests. We talked about there not being a lot of wacky finishes in NXT, yeah, yet the Authors have earned 2 in the last year. Right. And they're going up against the champions, Fish and O'Reilly, who are currently 3-0 in NXT. And I've got to go with the champions on this one. We've been saying for half a year now, since this podcast began, that the Authors of Pain have got to be coming up soon, and I stand by my statement.
All right, Justin.
I've got to agree 100% with Harley. He's said it all.
Yeah, if this is the only other match that could open the show, just because I think that it is a foregone conclusion. I don't think it will. I think the Velveteen Dream match will open the show, but it could be this one as well. AOP will... I don't know why they'll lose. I don't know why they'll walk out without the titles, but I think it's time to move them up, and I won't belabor the point any further. So we've got the women's match, Shayna versus Ember. This, for me, is the one that seems the most difficult to pick. Harley, go ahead.
All right, so we have our champion, Ember Moon. In the last 12 months, her record is 12-2. To date, the only person she has lost to in NXT is Asuka. She's going up against Shayna Baszler with an impressive record of 1-0. Yes, she's challenging for the title despite having only one match. Yeah, I don't want to talk too long about this. I think it's way too soon for this match to be happening. I don't know why it's happening. I will be very disappointed if Shayna wins, simply because I feel like then that's taking us right back to where we were when Asuka was the champion, with a strong, dominant champion, and the rest of the division will suffer as a result. But yeah, my best... I feel like I have to make a firm decision here. So I am going to go with Ember Moon wins by disqualification. Shayna shoves the ref, or she won't break a count in a corner, something to that effect, and gets herself disqualified. My runner-up option is Ember gets taken out at ringside and can't make it back into the ring for the 10 count. But either way, I think Ember stays champ.
All right, Justin.
I'm going to follow my belief that NXT has the discipline to tell a long-term story. And through that, I believe that what we're going to see over the next few months is a retelling of Rocky III, with Shayna Baszler being Clubber Lang and Ember Moon being Rocky. You know, she fought, you know, just like Rocky, right? She fought the champ and lost. She fought the champ again. Oh, okay, she didn't win. But she finally got the title. Now she's on top fighting these hand-picked opponents. Now she faces a real challenger and immediately gets wrecked. Ember Moon is going to go back to the gym. I'd love it if Asuka helped train her now that we're seeing an on-screen friendship between the two. Asuka comes in, helps train Ember Moon, and Ember Moon reclaims the championship. I would love this story. That would be a solid 3 to 6 months of awesomeness.
I'll tell you what, I was going to pick Shayna in this match anyway, but I'm going to double down on that because I love what you're doing there with this story. I really like it. I don't think you can stop Shayna's momentum here. I just think you've got to embrace it. I get what you're saying about having somebody that's too dominant, but I think she's got to go over and kind of do this same thing they did with Sami Zayn, where it's like fight and fight and fight and fight, finally grab the brass ring, and somebody snatches it away from you. It's just such a powerful, emotional story to tell, and I think that the heat on that could be huge. And either way, these two women are going to work with each other after this. We know that this can't be it. So you might as well drag it out. Now, Kairi Sane, she's got to figure in somehow, but I think this is the feud that you're going to hang on to for a while. And I actually like Shayna to win this match and then to continue that feud.
Yep. So Sane can be Baszler's first title defense because Ember Moon's on the shelf, with a storyline injury after getting mauled like a mouse in a bear den.
Right. And she can work some house shows and sell the injury by not appearing on the weekly show. That's fine.
Yep.
So, yeah. All right. So we've got our main event. Was Andrade on the show this week?
Yeah, for the first time in 2018.
I can't remember. Yeah, okay. Right. At the very end.
This was his first appearance this year.
I guess I didn't write it down. Gargano versus Almas. He is... not been on TV. I know you want a champion to be a special attraction, but yeah, it's almost like you can forget that he's there. Gargano versus Almas. Harley, get us started.
All right, so the challenger, Johnny Gargano, in the last year has a record of 6-5 as of tonight. Tonight was the tiebreaker. And he's going up against Andrade Almas, who in the past year has a record of 11-5. Both men suffering 5 losses in the last year. But Almas has racked up a couple more wins, thanks to Zelina's help. Right. This is one... I won't speak for you guys, but in the past 3 weeks, my opinion has changed. I remember a month ago when we were saying, no way Gargano wins. Almas gets an easy victory. He moves on to another competitor later on. And they've really made me doubt myself over the past 3 weeks. Part of me thinks... Gargano wins. Maybe it's too soon for Almas to lose the belt. Well, McIntyre only held it for 1 takeover as well. Gargano wins. He's got a slew of potential challengers. He's got Ciampa. He's got Cole. He's got Lars. Possibly Roddy. Almas again.
Velveteen Dream.
Velveteen Dream. It's a big field there with Gargano as champion leading up to the blood feud of Gargano and Ciampa for the title, takeover New Orleans, WrestleMania weekend. This all sounds like it makes perfect sense to me. But then the show tonight ends with Johnny Gargano holding up the NXT title in the air, and I doubt myself again, and I say, I don't know. That's bad luck. The challenger touching the belt before the show ending with the challenger holding the belt up, he's not winning. I have no clue what's going to happen. I love that this could go either way, that I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm going to be on the edge of my seat the whole match. But if I have to put my money down, I'm going with Johnny Wrestling.
All right. Justin.
You know, Harley, you really said it. I mean, you know, I remember a couple of weeks ago we were very confident in saying that, you know, we expected Ciampa return and that Ciampa versus Gargano just does not need the title to be involved. You know, it's already got plenty of heat in there and that we could just see Ciampa cost Gargano the match tonight at the Rumble, rather at the Takeover. Sorry, we can see Ciampa cost Gargano the match at Takeover, and then they could get it off on WrestleMania, and then go do whatever. Right, that's kind of what we predicted, and I still think that's a really solid prediction. I think it's a little bit. I think it's very formulaic, and I think that NXT has done a good job at not always following the formula to the letter. I think that a Gargano victory tonight, especially if we're going to have the downer of Baszler just making Ember Moon look like a used dish rag. I think that, you know, because that's going to be one heck of a downer of a co-main event or semi-main event, whatever you want to call it. That's going to be a real big downer when Moon gets stretchered out of there. So a Gargano win ends the night right.
I didn't think of that, but you guys are calling heels in every other match.
Yeah. That is largely the reason that I've kind of leaned towards Gargano here, too. Because he is one of the most sympathetic figures that they have created. Mm-hmm. You want to cheer for him so damn hard. And he does a good job of that. That's mostly his in-ring personality that draws us to him.
Besides promos.
Anything else. Yeah, right. That's, you know, that's a weaker part of his game. But yeah, his in-ring personality draws us to him. And I'm psyched for this match, too, because usually we have some idea in the title match. Now, obviously, last time we were surprised But usually we have some idea in the title match of what's going to happen. And for the same reason that Harley said, with all the heel suitors lined up for that title, I think that this is the right time to put over Johnny. I also don't think, now that I would not have said 3-4 months ago that it was time for Almas to go up. But now that he's got Vega, and now that that act is so refined, it's time. I think he should go up soon. So if he loses tomorrow, I think he could go up too and show up on, I'd say, SmackDown. But I don't know. I don't think it matters. And I think there's a very good chance that he is going to show up there. So that's kind of our show. Anything big? What about Ciampa showing up? Do you think he shows up or not, Harley?
Oh, I'm going to say no, because they think that we think he is. And so no Ciampa, just to trick us.
All right, Justin?
You know what? It's a really strong question, and I still think Ciampa is going to show up. But here's the thing, right? We've been seeing this story unfold for the last almost year now of Gargano allowing distractions. You know, DIY shirts, Zelina Vega, etc., throw him off his game. But we've also been seeing, since, you know, he had this one match a couple months ago where he...
Oh, I see where you're going.
Yep, exactly right. Because remember, like, tonight, Velveteen Dream wore a Johnny Wrestling shirt, very stylishly done up as a halter top with some fringes. Very, very amazing. And Gargano just ignored it. He smirked. He's just like, you can't get out of my skin. Ciampa shows up, tries to cost Gargano the match, and Gargano, for the first time in WWE history, a babyface, ignores the distraction at ringside from his former tag team partner.
DIY music hits.
Go on to win the match. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have the music hit. Have Ciampa come out there.
Ciampa walks out on the ramp.
Yeah. And Gargano just stonewalls it.
Locks in the Gargano escape and
staring Almas down Ciampa as Almas taps like mad. Vega's throwing in the towel. Stop it. You're going to break his arm. Right? And then having Gargano basically say, I'm over you, Tommaso. I am over you. I'm over all of this. And let's go throw down. I'm the champion for all the marbles. Mania weekend.
That's a heck of a call. That's a heck of a call. I
get Hunter on the line.
The fantasy booking is strong in this one.
It is. but that's what you do at Royal Rumble. You got to try to take some stabs there and look like the smart guy in your Royal Rumble pool. I thought for sure that he was going to show up. I'm not so sure anymore, and I wouldn't be surprised if they thought that he was going to show up and they don't know anymore either. I don't know. I think this is the right time for Johnny. Justin's story is super fun. But I don't think that he'll show up. I think that he will be a very shortly after winning the Royal Rumble kind of thing. Like, you can't totally redo the Zayn Owens story, because they've done it and it wasn't that long ago. But I think he'll show up shortly after Johnny wins the title, if he wins the title. Zayn, you might as well have him show up.
You know what? Here's something I just want to kind of bring up, though, right? Because you say, like, Zayn Owens wasn't that long ago. Zayn Owens was, like, 3 years ago.
Was it?
But more, if not 4 years ago, right? Because last year was the Nakamura championship. Before that was the Joe. Before that was Balor, and Balor got it off Owens.
I'm so old.
I know, but
so
here, but,
old.
But here's the thing to keep in mind, right? NXT, like, all the folks on this podcast right now, right? We've been following NXT for a while, right?
Yeah.
Yep. How big is the NXT audience, though, compared to where it was when Zayn Owens was a thing?
Yeah.
A factor of 10, 20, maybe? Who knows? They weren't even getting out of the FSU to do the Armory tours when Zayn Owens was going on. Never mind coming to, you know, Timbuktu, Iowa, like they're doing now. So the audience is so much bigger. They don't have tons of people in the audience, don't have the familiarity with the Owens-Zayn story. They could redo the Owens-Zayn story, and only a handful of us would be like, man, I just saw this 4 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't have said 4 years, so there you go.
All right. That's because it was such a strong story. It's like,
yeah,
it's very fresh for me, too. It was a very strong story.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
All right, we are going to go to our listener emails. Listeners, you can get a hold of us at pwtorchnxt@gmail.com. We got three that we're going to tackle today. The first one is from Dylan DeBaca. He gave us a question last week, and he's got another one for us here. Now that Ricochet is confirmed, where do you guys see him landing? Got to be NXT, right? Do you see WWE changing his name? Thanks, guys. Justin, go ahead.
I've said this before elsewhere, I think, but I'm not familiar enough with Ricochet's work to evaluate him. But other than a couple of mega stars, we're talking like AJ Styles level, nobody skips NXT entirely. So I'll say NXT. NXT has also been keeping performers' names. They seem to believe that there's more value in the brand than in having the trademark, and I agree with them. So I think we'll see him as Ricochet on NXT. It may be for a short period of time, but we will see him there.
Harley, you agree?
Definitely going to NXT, if only to, you know, work on his character, get his personality over to the crowd. I think I read something about Marvel owns the copyright to the name Ricochet, because there was a Spider-Man sort of sidekick named Ricochet back in the 90s.
I actually know who that is. Yeah,
okay. Part of the Slingers. So I think he is getting a new name. Hopefully it's something, you know, Ricochet's a memorable name, so hopefully they don't just have him come out as Trevor Mann, because that's kind of forgettable. Give him some sort of new variation, but that's my thoughts.
Okay, I definitely think that this is somebody who will stop off in NXT first. I don't know where else he could. If he goes straight up, it'll be to 205 Live, but I would rather that he just goes ahead and goes to NXT for a while, has some great matches there, because we know he'll get the time to have them. So I also thought that they would change his name. I didn't know about the Spider-Man thing being a factor. I just thought this because
I don't know if that's a rumor or a fact, but
okay. Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure about that, but I would say it just because Ricochet to me doesn't necessarily sound like a WWE name. I don't know why that is, but it just seems like it's not enough. I don't know. I think they're going to try to evoke something and do something with it. This is somebody that they were kind of stubborn to sign. I heard a couple of years ago they talked about him, and there were talks about him backstage in NXT, and everybody in NXT gushed about him, and they literally didn't sign him because the wrestlers were gushing about him, and they didn't want somebody to be like royalty or something. and I don't remember where I read that. It was at one of the big sites. It might have been at I don't know if it was at the Torch or one of the more rumory type places out there.
Yeah.
But it just, I don't know. I hope he doesn't suffer any of that. I hope that he's not just an also-ran, because this is a guy who I've seen a little bit as Ricochet. I've watched him in New Japan. He literally just lost the tag team champions, the junior tag team championships, with Ryosuke Taguchi. And they were, that was a month or two ago. And I watched him as Prince Puma in...
Oh yeah, in, I forgot about
in
that.
Lucha. So this is a guy who can carry the load. So hopefully they'll do something good with him.
Well, follow up question: how soon do we think we see him on TV?
I think that'll happen quick because we're going to have to restock the shelves after these guys jump up for Royal Rumble. And I think he's going to be one of the guys who restocks those shelves.
Yeah, I'm just thinking Donovan Dijak's been under contract for a while now. We haven't seen any traces of him.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Wow. I forgot about that. another indie guy. This is a guy you are going to be happy to see once you see him. But yeah, this.
Well, he's the size of Otis Dozovic.
No, he's like Cesar Bononi, but a little bit taller.
Okay.
Yep. Doing flips off the top ropes and.
Okay, cool. All I know is that one of you guys mentioned 205 Live, and friends don't let friends get called up to 205 Live.
Right. Yeah, and I called that out, and I hope that is not exactly what goes on. I hope that there's.
I mean, if I were a recent signee, I'd be hitting the Burger King every chance I get to make sure I didn't fit onto 205 Live.
Ricochet is one of the only guys his size who has any shot at all to be like a Rey Mysterio. Small guy, huge championship. Well, obviously, we've got...
Didn't Ray have, like, a two-minute championship?
We've got Finn in the... Well, he did, but he also had one that was a handful of months, 5 months. So, you know.
Well, in WWE, that's like, you know, that's the median.
Yeah, right. Okay, we've got another question from Andrew Gamble. He is our most common emailer, and he always gives us good stuff, so here he is. A common praise I hear for NXT is the lack of gimmicks when it comes to match types. Takeovers are usually pretty straightforward, one-on-one matches, which can be a breath of fresh air compared to the main roster. All that being said, the Royal Rumble and Money in the Bank are my two favorite wrestling events of the year, and I look forward to them every January and June. Do you think NXT should or will add traditions to takeovers? Could or should War Games become a November tradition in NXT? What about adding King of the Ring to NXT? Now, I know we've kind of covered this because I said openly, I think that War Games, because it worked, you might as well do it again. But let's go ahead to Justin here.
Yeah, we did discuss this, and I was in the same boat as you, Kelly. I believe that War Games would be an excellent staple. You know, we now have TakeOver Brooklyn is basically NXT's WrestleMania. And we could make War Games TakeOvers Royal Rumble, you know, the gimmick match or it could be the Money in the Bank, the gimmick match that we know is going to happen every year. It's going to set up new storylines for the next, you know, half year or whatever. And we all appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Harley.
I'll be contrarian and say I don't know if I would like to see War Games be an annual thing. I feel like it might water it down to the extent of how I feel when they bust out Hell in a Cell every year. And I kind of feel like, well, what's left to be done with this match? There's so many classics already. Can the new one possibly live up to those? But I do like the idea of having some sort of tradition for sure. So maybe every November takeover does have a big gimmick match in the main event, but maybe every year it's a different gimmick match. I want them to bring back like the Halloween Havoc where they spun the wheel to determine the match type.
Spin the wheel, make the deal. Yeah.
Yes, right. I love stuff like that. I feel like there's so many other great gimmick matches out there that they could dust off and bring out and make fresh and exciting again. And I'd rather see that than trying to shoehorn, you know, oh, November's coming up, War Games is the main event, so we got to find a way to make this War Games feud worthy, which is what happens on the main roster so much.
I like that. I like what you're saying.
I tell you what, you guys out there, he mentioned the Halloween Havoc, spin the wheel, make the deal. This was a big, big deal between Sting and Vader. Was it Vader? It was spin the wheel, make the deal. And this was supposed to be a big deal because they had this, they didn't know what match type they were going to do. And they did it live on the pay-per-view, so they couldn't, they didn't gimmick the spinner. And so it ended up being a coal miner's glove match, which is like the most boring gimmick match in the world. So like it ended up being this because they didn't gimmick the spinner. So yeah, that I don't want to see. I'll tell you what.
You don't want to see Lars and Alistair in a coal miner's glove match? On a pole?
God. I don't, I've been surprised before, but I don't think that one would surprise me. I wouldn't mind seeing here's the thing. Here's how I feel about these, and this is what I think is cool about NXT, is that you don't do War Games because the turn of the calendar. You do War Games because you have a reason to do War Games based on the interpersonal problems going on between the various wrestlers in the roster.
Actually, so, you know what? That was something that I think they really mishandled about this, because everybody knew that the takeover was called War Games before William Regal announced that that there's only one way to settle this in a War Games match. And you're like,
right.
But we all knew it was called War Games, and we all knew there was going to be a War Games match for like a month.
Yeah. So it's tough because they're in a tough position. This is the art versus commerce thing, because art says you just do it when it's right to do it. But commerce says you can sell more tickets if you tell people that there's going to be War Games. So do I think there should? Yes. If I run that company, yes, I do think there should be specific pay-per-view event, and not pay-per-view, you know, old habits by heart. Takeover events that that should have a gimmick. I think that will sell tickets, and I think it'll be sell, you know, subscriptions potentially. So I get it from that point. I don't want to see them do mini versions of what the WWE main roster does. I think that could be problematic and stepping on toes kind of thing. But I like the idea of just doing these. So my answer for should, art wise, which I always am first and foremost, is no, I don't think those traditions should happen unless you really, really, really can sell a reason for those matches to happen beforehand. I would rather have, if War Games is going to happen once a year or once every couple of years, then I just want it to happen when it organically happens. But will it? I wouldn't be surprised. So there you go, Andrew Gambill. Thank you for the question. The last question.
We look forward to your next question, Andrew.
Yeah, he's here every week. He's, you know, he shows up on as many of these as we do. Patrick Alog, A-L-O-G is his last name. Guys, what do you think about Morrow, Showtime, and Nigel? Out of all three brands, they are my favorite team. Nigel is supposed to play the heel, but he actually sounds very balanced, and same with Showtime. I think Showtime has definitely improved over time, and partly it's because I think Nigel allows him time, unlike Corey Graves, who seemed to dominate the conversation. I do think Nigel would make a great counterpoint to Corey on the main roster. Anyway, I've been waiting for a weekly NXT podcast to listen to for a while, and glad you guys are doing a really good one. Well, I'll tell you what, Patrick. You say that kind of thing, you're definitely going to show up on the show. thank you. Thank you for the question. Our announce team, Justin.
I am really liking this booth. I think it was the first night that Watson was in the booth. I was kind of rolling my eyes at what he was saying, but he really caught on really quickly, right? You know, like, I wish Michael Cole had his or Booker T had his ability to understand when he needed to be quiet. Watson, I think, is injecting just the right amount of color commentary at just the right times, and it's not, and he doesn't try to act like he's the know-it-all. He's just as like, oh man, that's gotta hurt, that kind of stuff. I like the way he, as we've said, he fades into the background except for when he's needed. He's like a great bass player. You hear him when you need to. Just feel the presence when you don't need to hear him. Nigel and Ronaldo, I love this pairing as the main driving forces. They are like fire and ice sometimes, you know, because, you know, they both really know the product so well, the moves. You know, Ronaldo has these little quirks of his own, like he always calls it an avalanche whatever when it's off the top rope instead of a super whatever. He gets so excited and he's into the matches. We haven't heard this kind of passion in a WWE booth since JR hung up his headset. You know, you just really feel that excitement. Like, you know, he pops hard and he doesn't telegraph the end of the match like Cole does. Yeah. I really like, you know, where you're like, oh, he's going to be the champion. And you're like, no, he's not. If, you know, Ronaldo calls it as he sees it, he calls it like a fan, like a super knowledgeable fan would call it. He doesn't wink wink nudge nudge about the product. I love him. And McGinnis, McGinnis has that technical dissection of the match. It's just really great. I listening to these guys is like listening to a classic Wu-Tang album, right? Where they all have their own style and they just blend together so perfectly.
This is so weird you brought that up because I was listening to Wu-Tang today.
I
love the timing. Great timing.
I hadn't thought of Wu-Tang in like forever, and then something, a text message conversation I had earlier today made me think of an ODB song. These guys just, you know, they're just totally all over the map, but the total product is fantastic. McGinnis and Graves together. I think McGinnis is supposed to be heel, but he's not heelish. He's just more of a cynic, right? He's cynical. He doesn't do the heel stuff like, you know, you got whatever it takes to win. He never says stuff like that. He's just realistic and cynical.
I like what he makes fun of is actually what he suspects will be the other guy's reactions. Like, what was it today that I love this entrance because it makes me want to get up and dance. And he goes, that's why I don't like this entrance. He is a cynic. That's what he's doing more than being a heel.
And Graves is the obnoxious guy that you want to hit at the party, but you don't want to get arrested. And then he walks out with your girlfriend.
Right.
You know, Graves is a heel, except the thing with Graves is that he's got people think he's inconsistent as a heel. He's actually very consistent. He's consistent in his inconsistency. Like, he always bags on Elias,
right?
And he's been doing that since Elias was Elias Samson. Next, he always bags on Elias, right? That whole thing about he's not really from Pittsburgh. I know people in Pittsburgh, and they tell me they never heard of this bozo. You know, he would always pop for Eva Marie. But it was a very specific thing. You know, there was other female heels that he didn't pop for, but he did this ridiculous Jerry Lawler thing for Eva Marie. Graves is very consistent, but that's part of his heelishness, I think, is that you can't predict where who he's going to be goo-goo for versus dumping on. But Graves and McGinnis, I don't think I would care for that particular pairing very much. Nobody would be calling the match.
Harley, what do you think of this team?
They're okay, I guess. I've never really been a fan of either of these guys before this, and putting them together hasn't really been changing my mind. Nigel McGuinness used to do commentary in Ring of Honor all the time, and he was always the weak link of whatever team he was on. I like that he calls moves and he speaks from a wrestler standpoint. Oh, this hurts because of this. It's the same thing William Regal used to do when he did commentary for NXT, but I thought Regal did it better. There was just something about him. He came across more genuine. I don't know. Moro, I've never been a fan of Moro. I can tell that he's genuinely enthusiastic and genuinely passionate about the product, but I find his Mamma Mia's and his stuff just so over the top. I've always just found him very obnoxious. Dating back to this was years ago. There was a post Raw show only on Canadian network television, hosted by Vinay Moro Ranallo and another guy. And that was before any of them were associated with WWE. And even back then, I thought Renee was well spoken and smart and charismatic, and I found Moro obnoxious and grating. I can't say this has changed for me, but it's tough. Like, I've never been a fan of any of the WWE teams. Raw, SmackDown right now, I don't know. My favorite wrestling broadcast team in the past 5 years was Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino in Ring of Honor.
Oh, I hate those two on New Japan. I hate them on New Japan. I just hate them so much.
I don't know if I can speak to them on New Japan because I've only seen them do maybe one or two Wrestle Kingdoms.
They break the fourth wall. I know kayfabe is dead, but they openly talk about like the booking often. It's the worst.
In Ring of Honor, I really liked them because they really brought a gravity to the situation, and like they were always talking about the actual rules within Ring of Honor, things like that. So for me, it's just kind of baffling that Steve Corino is working at the Performance Center but he's not on air in any capacity, because I think he would be a great addition to the commentary team.
He might, but Kevin Kelly and Don Callis is the team I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I don't care for Don
That's
Callis.
The team I'm thinking of. I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking of him. I was thinking of Callis while you said Carino. I'm not up on Carino as an announcer.
You know, it's funny, Harley, because my initial reaction to what you said, I was just like, how could you not like Ronaldo? And then I realized, like, listening to what you were saying, I realized that this is the same reason why I know that you guys can't stand – I can't believe we're going to bring this guy up again in the same podcast. You were right. I was wrong, Kelly. Enzo Amore. I loved Enzo Amore. And part of this is I was born in New York City, right? And so people like Ronaldo and Enzo, who are just so over the top, to me that's like the norm.
Yeah, over the top doesn't bother me. Enzo bothers me because he's a loser, and now we know that he really is a loser. I don't want to open that up.
Commentators.
Yeah.
Kelly, your thoughts. Reason.
Commentators. I love Mauro. He's one of my favorite wrestling commentators ever. I don't go back super far with him. I know what he did with this company, and I really like that enthusiasm, and I think it works, and obnoxious, yes, and I like his particular brand of obnoxiousness, which I think is the best thing you're going to get out of a commentator, because they have to be somewhat obnoxious, and I think that it's hard to take any of them seriously, because the whole conceit of the business is so stupid. I don't know. I really like what he does. I think that he probably isn't going to move to the main roster again, just because I don't think that he wants to be on the road. I don't think it's right for him to be on the road. As a team, I think they are better than the sum of their parts, because I think Mauro's good, and I think the other two guys are not so swell, but I think that the work that the three of them put together is very good. I will say that Showtime has really come a long way in finding his character, because he was a very specific, dorky, I don't know what he was supposed to be when he was in the ring, but he was something different than he is now. And now he's relatively playing it straight. He's just a straight up good guy. Talk about the virtues of these workers kind of dude. And I think he's doing a pretty good job of that.
He's definitely better than Byron Saxton. I'll give him that.
Who isn't?
Yeah. And they're playing the same role, essentially.
You can put any three of us in a cheap suit, throw a pair of headsets on us, and toss us out on that show, and we do a better job than Byron Saxton.
Right. They're officially in the same role, but oh boy. Saxon's another ball of wax that I don't think we need to talk about. But, yeah, I think that Showtime's getting there. I think where he is on the card, you know, staying here on NXT is just fine for now. Using him in more of these backstage segments and, you know, grow his confidence in the booth, and we'll have something here. And Nigel, I really, really did not like at first, but his act is kind of growing on me just a tiny bit. He can talk to how real that strong style is, and I think he brings an important part to the booth of a guy who's been in the ring for a long time and a lot of years, because he was a pretty good wrestler. So, he brings that part of it. And so if he strikes the right balance of not trying to overdo it with his heel act, I really kind of like what he does. Mm-hmm. So
I do like that he can actually talk to having been in the ring against Daniel Bryan, Cesaro, Cassius Ohno.
Right. Yeah, it's always kind of painful when you hear a guy like Corey Graves or Percy Watson try to talk to this stuff, because you're like, you know, you guys were flameouts. You know, I loved Corey Graves in the ring. I thought he was a great worker. But the truth is that you know, he retired at a pretty young age due to concussion issues. Percy Watson was a go nowhere, right? So sometimes it's difficult to take them seriously when they try to talk from the ring. Because they're like, dude, you're no Macho Man.
Right, yeah, but yeah, Graves was successful on his stage, at least, so there's that. But when Percy talks about being in the ring with people, I just go, okay, come on, I mean...
It's like Alex Riley.
This. Let's maybe just ignore the in-ring history of Percy Watson, because this doesn't even seem like the same character. He's just going by the same name.
Yeah,
it's just a total restart for him. But I'll tell you what, that is that's our show. We went relatively long, which I didn't think we'd do, but we had a lot to cover there and three really good questions. So we're going to drop our Twitter handles for you, and that's going to be our show until next week in the post Royal Rumble world, and things could be super different. So Harley, close it out.
Yes, I'm on Twitter at Pastel Lemonade, and I'm happy to report that in the very near future, I should be starting up a weekly podcast similar to this, dedicated exclusively to the Ring of Honor Corporation. So if you're not watching Ring of Honor, if you're not following ROH, now's a good time to get on board, and then pretty soon you can hear me talk about that in the future.
Perfect. Justin.
And I am Justin_M_James. That's on Twitter. Yes, it's my middle initial. I know we've made comments about that before. and I'm always glad to hear from you readers. I love reading your comments on the articles that go up on the Torch, and looking forward to seeing what happens at TakeOver this weekend.
All right, and I am Kelly Wells. I do this more than anything, and I sometimes come at you with the NXT tracker, and I will have a preview of this show for you this week. I am on Twitter at Spooky Milk. Mostly I respond to things that Tom Staupe says and to a guy from, you know, from one of my other podcasts. I don't post a lot of my own original content. But you can go ahead and follow me there anyway. Ask me what you want to ask me. I have had fans of the show ask me little questions about stuff on Twitter. So that is our show, and thank you for listening. This is PWT Talks NXT, and we will see you next week.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell audio show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject. And it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The every single day weight color hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the SE Editor format of the Weight Killer Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Past Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in-depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the live cast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip. This is live.